Right now it is time to bring in Brian Ross. It's time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us, of course, on a Thursday morning, and this morning is no exception. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
Interesting week with a couple of interesting insights and looks, not only here in this country, but across the world. We'll start off, though, what happened in Georgia, where once again a really inadequate pick for a Republican United States senator went up against an incumbent, even though it was only a short-term incumbent. And the Democrats managed to do something very important. They won that. They've got a 51-49 majority now in the Senate. That means they don't have to share power in the House. And that means they can expedite the appointment of more judges under Joe Biden.
Right. When it was 50-50, it meant that the committees had equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, even though they had a chair that was of the Democrat side. So this makes a life a lot easier for Chuck Schumer in terms of moving legislation to the floor and also for judicial appointments. Two more years of the Biden administration being able to appoint judges that have vacancies come up. And I think the other thing that's interesting is, think about it, now you've got two Democratic senators from Georgia, two from Arizona. That's a real shift and an indication to many that at long time, a Southern strategy that really began under the Nixon campaigns in 1970. There's some holes in that now.
Well, those holes have been provided in part by the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. And it's, you know, what's interesting about the Democrats having a 51-49 majority in the Senate is that exactly is happening right now is exactly what I thought was going to happen, and that is Donald Trump's pick, you want to say, to become leader of the House is now going to face some serious challenges. And I think on the House side, there's going to be some mayhem for a while.
Definitely. As Chuck Schumer dealt with Joe Manchin, because it was such a slim majority in the Senate, now whoever's the Speaker, and I guess it could be Kevin McCarthy, he's left the lead, he's going to have to deal with hundreds of Joe Manchins at his side, and he's got a really slim majority there. He still, at this point, doesn't have the votes to be elected a Speaker. There are five members of the Republican side of the House who absolutely have said, I'm never going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. So we'll see if that holds up. But at the moment, that means he doesn't have the votes to become the Speaker when they convene in January.
And once again, a 59, it doesn't sound like much, but the Senate is a much more refined body than the House anyway. And when you get that extra little power in the Senate, it does make a big difference. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next 2 years in Washington, D.C., before the next election.
Right, and there's a slight rearrangement of what have become the key states in the presidential election. And I think now Georgia and Arizona, they're in play for Democrats, which had not been the case for decades, ever since Nixon moved in sort of a racially tinged approach to politics in the 70s and followed up by other Republican candidates. Right now, there's a shift in the demographics. Donald Trump, as you say, helped it, but there's a shift in the demographics in the South in those states. That has is no longer a solid, red Republican state. It's certainly a bright purple at this point.
And when you add that the Democrats are trying to shore up Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, it does right. It does change the shape of the electoral map. It really does.
And those states, plus as I said, Georgia, Alaska, and Nevada, those six states will be where a lot of the campaigning for our next president in 2024, that's where the campaigns are going to be focused. And, we keep hearing, I guess it's accurate from the White House, that Mr. Biden plans to run again, even at age 80.
I think he has to say that, and he just to keep a stable rein on what now is appearing to be a fairly successful presidency right now. I think he'll make his decision probably early on in the beginning of his fourth year of the term at the White House. But I think he has to state that right now, because right now with what's happened with the Senate and what's happened with some of his legislation, he needs that power and that authority of someone who's going to be president of the United States. So. And also,
absolutely, that's how it works. But
it calms the nerves of our allies in Europe. It really does. Because
I think since the 2016, they don't know what to expect out of the United States of America.
That's exactly right, as we put it that way. And it was a, you know, like I said, I hate to make this true, but it's all about him. But it was a terrible week and a half for Donald Trump with his company. What's coming down with this company, what's going on with some of the rulings of the January 6th committee, and how they're going to recommend some legal action. I mean,
they're going to make criminal referrals. Now, that doesn't mean that the Justice Department has to do anything, but it will add to the pressure or the momentum of the federal investigation into Trump in terms of January 6th and his role there, plus that special counsel, Jack Smith, who's been given the assignment, is also taking a hard look at what happened with the classified documents. I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday, Washington Post, New York Times both reported they found even more classified documents in a storage unit because the judge said, go back and take another look. And they didn't want to, and they finally did. They hired an outside firm, which found two more classified documents that were in the Trump material in some storage locker down in West Palm Beach, Florida. He kept saying there's no more, and every time they looked, they found more.
Pretty amazing. I want to move on now to the situation in Ukraine and with what Vladimir Putin said yesterday. Once again, to him, I think it's becoming obvious to him that they're not going to win a ground war. I'm not going to say they're going to lose one, but they're not going to win the ground war. And with these incredibly deep strikes into Russia with the drone technology, Crimea has really come into play for Russia to be scared on.
Well, it's amazing, and the strikes at two air bases deep inside Russian territory, one just 100 miles from Moscow, really it tells you the efforts by the Ukrainians to take this war to Russia now are having impact. And, of course, Russia fired off more missiles at schools and power plants in retaliation, but it gives you a sense of Ukraine really got Russia on the edge here. And talking to a couple of military experts this week over in Europe looking at this, they say that you're still in the mud season, but once the ground freezes hard, Ukraine will be on the move again. There won't be a respite over the winter.
Yeah, it's this has really turned into a very, 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 it's sad, but a very interesting development, and it could change the face of way warfare is considered in the future with how incredibly smart the Ukrainians have been. And obviously, because they used to produce a lot, if not all, of the Russian armaments, they really know what they're doing. And with the help they're getting from the bloc of the United States and Europe, they really are doing an unbelievable job in recreating how to defend your country in case of an attack.
Absolutely, and these drone strikes come even as the U.S. has. Well, if you saw this story, they've altered these long range missiles that the U.S. has sent to Ukraine, so they can't go some 200 miles because the U.S. doesn't want to have those missiles that this country is providing to Ukraine a strike inside Russia to avoid a further escalation of the war. But, Moscow knows what the U.S. is doing, and, of course, they don't like it, but they can't stop it. And now it's a race of who can keep resupply during the winter. They fire off, at times, hundreds of missiles in a day. The reports are the Russians have sort of started to peel that back a bit. They may not have the stockpile they need to keep up that kind of an assault.
Well, it's a very interesting and interesting movement. And the final story, we're going to move over to Iran. And in Iran, they carried out their first execution over the protests about the the squad that has been actually now supposedly taken off the streets?
Yes. Well, the first execution of a protester, and that's only going to inflame the passion of the protesters there as they continue, supposedly, according to the reports that we've seen, they've disbanded or sort of stopped the so-called morality police. Can you imagine living in a country where there are morality police actually with the powers to arrest and imprison and, in one case, kill? But, you know, it's to be closely watched. And, of course, the U.S. shouldn't do much because it'll be seen as, we can't be seen as a U.S.-inspired. This is more from the ground up, from people in Iran who are tired of living under the foot and the heel of the morality police and the Ayatollahs.
Well, it's an interesting time to be in the news business, Brian, is all I can say.
Well, is it ever not an interesting time to be in the news business? There is always, something going on, and there's a lot that's going on that we don't pay attention to because other things are deemed to be more important. But wherever you look, somewhere in the world, there is strife and conflict, and there's also a lot of good news going on, a lot of good things happening. So I'd like to think about that, too, as we approach the holidays.
All right, Brian, always great to talk to you. We'll speak to you next week.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot, Marshall.
Bye-bye. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robinhood Radio. You can find Brian's commentary at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.